We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this Tuesday. That means Wednesday 1, Thursday 2, Friday 3, Saturday 4. 4-4-4-4. 4 days to college football. Just 4 days. We're going to be teeing it up across the nation. NAIA, NCAA, Divisions 3, 2, 1, AA, which they call, what do they call it now? FCS, I think. And then Division 1 and the big game everybody kind of looking forward to on Saturday. Kind of really get everybody's attention across the nation. The Florida Gators against the Miami Hurricanes from Orlando, Florida. In the big game to kick off the season in this kind of a soft start of the year. And I think that, by the way, this is something that we have to get used to as fans, because what's going to happen on Saturday with Florida against Miami, there's another game between Arizona and Hawaii, is you're going to get this, even though we're kind of used to and programmed you to this five-day opening weekend around Labor Day, you're going to get this one-off game the week before Labor Day, kind of like Florida and Miami, because I think they're going to get big ratings, going to become a thing, which it becomes the de facto kickoff game to the year.
Oh, that's no question about that. John, it's the fuck game of the college football season, of course. This is what we've all been waiting on. Even if you aren't a fan of either team, you're still going to watch.
All right. The NCAA and the transfer portal and this whole ridiculous – and I'm going to get on – I've got a soapbox next to me. I'm going to stand on it for a moment. What happened to Georgia Tech yesterday is outrageous, in my opinion. Now, Jeff Collins is trying to turn the fortunes of Georgia Tech, and one of the ways I think going to be able to turn the fortunes of Tech fairly quickly is to get big-name transfer players to come in, because Georgia Tech has the opportunity not only to play in Atlanta and in the ACC, but there are, for lack of a better term, Hugh, job openings, and there are players that are looking around for places where they may be able to come in and have a legitimate chance to start for a big-time program right now. And so Georgia Tech kind of offers that whenever you get a new coach. And in the era of the transfer portal, you're going to get a lot of guys in. Georgia Tech has had four big-time players transfer into their program. And yesterday, the NCAA denied two of them. Miles Sims, a four-star cornerback from Westlake High, who had been at Michigan, and Antonius Clayton, who was a five-star, one of the top defensive ends, maybe the number one defensive end in the nation out of Vienna, Georgia, who went to Florida. Antonio's Clayton and Miles Sims were denied the ability to play this year after transferring in on the transfer portal to Georgia Tech. I find this to be entirely outrageous.
Yeah, and the one that hurts the most is Antonio's Clayton, because he was one of those guys that Coach was dependent on for that pass rush that he was going to give you. He's a guy that if they appealed this denial, but if he doesn't play, then that, and if he has a season out this year, that only gives him 1 year eligibility left. So that's the tough spot that he's in. And that was a guy, like I said, that's a guy who really, when you talk about spring games and things of that nature, he really jumped out at the coaches. So to lose him, that would be real tough.
Yeah, and it's not only, you know, the loss to Georgia Tech in terms of not having these two really solid defenders and a great defensive rush end, and now how does that change your opinion of the Clemson game? But it's really about the way, Hugh, that the NCAA handles this transfer portal.
Governs, like how some guys can get almost in an immediate transfer, and other guys, you know, like, nah, it's not that serious. That I would want to sit in there and say, okay, well, what makes this scenario more important than this one? Or vice versa, things of that nature. That would be my biggest question that I would ask the NCAA. But the unfortunate thing about it, I don't even think you can ask them that question. I don't think, if you did, they probably wouldn't answer, give you a straight answer.
Well, I'd almost love to see somebody sue. I just go into court right now and sue.
The unfortunate thing about that is the judicial system moves real slow, and you're talking about most of the things that we're talking about, John, they have to be done in a timely manner. You know, you're talking about eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're talking about a couple weeks before the college football season starts. I don't know how this appeal is going to go, but it might not go, especially for Clay, it might not go that way for him. And he might have to sit out.
I find this infuriating. I mean, Justin Fields goes to Ohio State. He can play. He's going to start. By the way, Justin Fields named the starter at Ohio State yesterday. Beating out Gunnar Hoke, not a big surprise. He's going to start their opener. I think you said it was against
Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic. Thank you. And Jalen Hurts named the starter at Oklahoma over Spencer Rattler, which is really an interesting battle because Rattler could be a really fine young quarterback. But that's neither here nor there. You have Jalen Hurts transferring in. He's fine. Justin Fields transferring in. He's fine. Tate Martell goes down to Miami. Oh, he's fine. He's not starting, but he's fine. He's on the team, and he can play. Luke Ford leaves Georgia, goes to Illinois to be near his ailing grandfather, and they say no.
What position he play?
Tight end.
Okay. What position the other two kids play, Sims and Clay?
Defensive back and defensive end.
It's funny how quarterbacks seem like they get that special treatment. And this goes to why folks can't stay in quarterbacks. Because they feel like they're treated differently. That's just my little two cents about that. But that's what it feels like. Because you got these quarterbacks who arguably would have, during the time of the transfer, changed the face of the program or put the program in a better position to be successful. But you have all these other players that aren't as important as quarterback. They have issues transferring.
Mm-hmm. Right, and some people, Jalen Hurts is a graduate transfer. He's already graduated. And
I don't consider Jalen Hurts being in that conversation, though,
right.
To be totally honest.
And Justin Fields, he had that incident with the idiotic, moronic baseball player, and, he could claim he felt unsafe. And so he had explain Tate Martell to me. I mean, again, this is what if we're going to have this transfer portal, I just really don't think you can deny players transferring and playing immediately. You can't. And yet they did. They did in the case of Luke Ford to Illinois. They did in the case of a quarterback. By the way, there was a quarterback who was denied, a quarterback who went to Utah, who was denied immediate eligibility. So, yeah, some quarterbacks are being denied. It's just willy-nilly. And to say that Clayton and Sims can't play, I think is – I mean, I would – if I'm in the Georgia Tech athletic office, if I'm, Mike Flynn and Mike Stamos, and not that these guys would do this, and I'd be throwing stuff. I mean, against the wall, this is just not right.
Hopefully they can appeal and get, it overturned, but it doesn't feel like that's going to be the case. And then it kind of makes you wonder whose palm was greased in the other kids' circumstances to help make this happen or help facilitate them being eligible for this year. It's just really weird. You hear these different stories about different kids for whatever reason transfer and they're granted the right to play, but then other kids aren't. So who's making those decisions? And what are they sitting down there looking at? What's the process, better yet? What's the process when they decide whether or not this kid is allowed to play and this kid isn't?
I don't know how many transfers there were this year. I'd have to go back and look position by position. I believe, though, that there were probably it's 200 too many? I mean, there are a ton. I mean, there are like 30 quarterbacks alone. So there may be 200 transfers. How many were denied? Tyler in Woodstock. Tyler, do you have any insight into why the NCAA would do this?
I kind of listened to Kelly Quinlan for Georgia Tech's Coverage and Rivals quite a bit, and I know he mentioned that Clayton's mom is actually sick. She's had some stomach issues, I think she had stomach cancer at one point or something along those lines. And he came home also to be home with her, and that's kind of amazing that he was denied on a medical kind of reason to come home and Tate Martell can go down there because he didn't want competition. And on top of that, Izard, I think, was also denied for Georgia Tech coming from Miami after a coaching change.
This makes no sense. And Tyler, whether even if you had a reason, and I appreciate that, Tyler in Woodstock, like Luke Ford or as he said, Clayton may have had a reason. I think your reason to be allowed to be played, given the transfer portal, the reason you ought to be is because I'm changing schools, okay? That's why. Because, Hugh, there's something really wrong in the water here, really seriously wrong. I don't know how you can deny players the right to go change teams and play. Under what circumstance could you possibly do this? It makes no sense to me.
That's why I asked the question, John. What is the criteria? I mean, what is the process when it comes to granting or not granting these kids the right to play that year? I mean, do they sit in front like a jury setting? Not a jury, but like, you know, they have like a bunch of people sitting around at a table, five people at a table, and they read the story about the student, and they vote yay, nay, and the majority vote wins or whatever. How does it go? Is it just one person sitting in the room and he's playing God or she's playing God and just making that decision off of what she's reading or he's reading?
Yeah, well, it's bad news for Georgia Tech either way at the moment. One other quick story here. Tennessee has now voted, the Vols have now voted to sell alcohol inside Neyland Stadium. But wait, Georgia State fans, I know you're playing your opening game in 11 days in Knoxville. The alcohol sales won't start till their second game because Philip Fulmer came out and said, we're going to need a minute here to kind of figure this out. The irony is they're going to start selling beer and booze at the games for the game against BYU. It's kind of ironic. But Tennessee is going to sell beer at its games. Now, Vanderbilt has already said it's going to sell beer. So if you're a Georgia fan and you're going to the Vandy game and you're over the age of 21 or older.
Bottoms up.
Yep.
About to turn, like the kids say, you're about to turn up. About to get turnt at the game. So just don't get arrested.
So Tennessee has joined the list. They are now that SEC schools can sell alcohol. Of course, Georgia said no. Arkansas, there are six. All right, Arkansas, LSU, Missouri, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. Tennessee's also said that the most common option for beer in Neyland Stadium, Hugh, will be a 24-ounce beer in a clear cup for $12.
Oh, that'll get you where you need to be. There's no question about that. For $12, what's that, 24 ounces? Yeah. You get two of those, that's a 44 ounce. All depends on how fast you're going through. So what's that? You take about $30 with you. You good to go. You got a nice little buzz. Hopefully you got enough. And then you got enough change left over for like the Uber. You got enough for the Uber. All depends on where you stay, though, because you might want to bring more than, like, $6 for the Uber. The Uber might, unless you do the, what's that, the carpool Uber. If you do the carpool Uber, that's a little bit cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah, so Georgia will be able to drink, Georgia fans over 21 at Vanderbilt, but Georgia State fans won't because Tennessee's going to need a Phil Fulmer saying, we got to put the stands in because they just approved it yesterday, so 11 days isn't long enough for them to get, all the taps in and to work the kinks out of how they're going to handle it at Neyland Stadium.
It's going to be cats tapping kegs in the parking lot, too. It's going to be a party.
Yeah, it is going to be a party. And again, Georgia has said, so far Georgia has said no. It'll be interesting to see, Hugh. With Tennessee, selling and LSU selling, you know, they're going to monitor. I think what's going to happen with teams like Georgia is they're going to monitor this year for two things. One, how much trouble does this create, right? You know, what kind of fallout do you have, in terms of the safety of the fans? And the second thing they're going to look at is what kind of money you're going to make, because Tennessee selling beer and LSU selling beer inside that, Hugh, they're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, that's the plan. That is definitely planned. It's going to be a fun time, and it's going to be a lot of 24-ounce beers being sold for $12. Somebody's going to make that payment.
Yeah, you sell 20,000 at a game with Tennessee at $12 a piece. You're looking at $250,000 per game just on that one particular item. Maybe $500,000 in alcohol sales for the game. That's going to change some minds up in Athens pretty quickly. Hey, 99 The Game has teamed up with Coca-Cola to invite one lucky listener to participate in the exclusive fantasy football draft with the Falcons. You're going to be on Hugh and Andy Bunker's team with the Falcons. The code word today is Falcons. You have to have yesterday's code word. Hope you have it. Today's code word, which is Falcons, and tomorrow's code word at this time. And if you have all three, then Thursday at 11:20, the first caller with all three code words is going to be able to team up with Hugh and Andy at the Coca-Cola exclusive fantasy football draft. Today's code word again is Falcons. When we get back, Mike Conney, man of many hats, jumping into the program, talk United and more as we continue with John and you on the morning show after a CBS Sportsman.
Julian Gressel coming down the right wing.
Nagby just bounced off of the challenge from Valeri.
Oh, what a ball up to Joseph at the top of the box. A chip score! Just like that, 45 seconds into the half, Atlanta United doubles their lead.
In a 2-0 win over Portland on the road that vaulted Atlanta United into first place in the Eastern Conference. And Mike Conti, the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, is joining us. He's brought to you by Cool-Ray Heating and Cooling's exclusive lifetime parts and labor warranty, and joins us in the studio. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
First of all, Mike, how was the trip?
It was long. That is a long, long way to get out to Oregon. It's my first time in Oregon. Beautiful out there, by the way. But long trip. Glad to be home. Really big road win for Atlanta United. In the three-year history of this club, I hate to use the phrase signature win. I know that's kind of cliche.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that has been missing on the checklist of accomplishments for Atlanta United in their three-year history is that signature road win. Even last year, if you look at who they beat on the road, I think their best road results last year were draws. Like, they got a draw at Yankee Stadium.
Well, maybe in the playoffs against NYC.
Yeah, that would be, and that's a playoff game. But I'm talking about regular season.
Oh.
You know, so you got a draw against New York City. You beat Columbus 2-0. They were a playoff team last year, but kind of at the bottom. This, to me, going into a building all the way across the country after you just played in a cup final on Wednesday, you beat a team that has aspirations to get back to the MLS Cup final, a team that was red hot at home, and really control the match. Just a really great performance by Atlanta United. I think that goes as their best regular season road win in club history.
And not only that, it's a difference. It's amazing what the difference a week makes in the narrative that has changed for Atlanta United. You're talking about winning the Campeones Cup, mm-hmm. and then coming in, playing the way that they did against Portland. I mean, it feels like everything's starting to come together at the absolute right time for Atlanta United.
Yeah, I agree. And we have to kind of realign where we are in the season right now, because if we're thinking about it in terms of last year, there'd still be 2 months left in the season because mm-hmm. it ended the final weekend of October. Well, this year it ends the first weekend of October, so we're really getting into the home stretch now. And you're right, Atlanta United seems to be playing a lot better as we get into these last 8 matches. The one thing I would say to that, Hugh, is I think Atlanta United, since they lost in Seattle mm-hmm. right after the 4th of July, I don't remember the exact date, but it's been a little more than a month. Since then, they're 7-1-0, plus 15 in goals. Their only loss was to LAFC, who I'd love to get another crack at, you know, the best team in the league that I thought they outplayed for much of that game. Importantly, they have scored the first goal in all 8 of those games. All 8 of those games, they've been in the 3-5-2, which they had to go to after Breck Shea got hurt in Seattle. So I don't know if the narrative has changed much in the span of a week. Certainly compared to this time last month, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been building for a while. And Atlanta United, I feel like every match they play, they get a tiny bit better, a tiny bit better, a tiny bit better. And I would love to see that trend continue, because they have 2 more very important road matches coming up very soon. And a week from today, the U.S. Open Cup final.
Mike Conti joining us, brought to you by Cool-Ray Heating and Cooling, talking about Atlanta United. As you mentioned, 2 big games coming up for United. Frank DeBoer, he was talking about the narrative, and we were talking about this the other day, about Frank DeBoer and how things change. Suddenly you have a Campeones Cup. You could have a U.S. Open Cup. You're back to first place. I'm just thinking, what could be the thought process on Frank DeBoer at the end of the year compared to what it was, say, a month and a half ago from the fans and you know, from the players and everything that we went through with all this chatter from the team? Was there a meeting of the minds? Was it health? What changed?
Health is a big part of it, absolutely. I mean, and getting Barco back from a long international absence was part of it, too. I mean, Barco missed so much time because he had to play in the U-20 World Cup, and then he came back and got hurt. So, yeah, absolutely, health is an enormous part of it. You got a little bit of a break where Joseph only missed 1 match, an Open Cup game, because of an adductor injury. So you're really kind of turning the corner in terms of health right now. But one of the things that really impressed me about what they did on Sunday was they missed Eric Rometty, who I think up until Sunday, Atlanta United had not won a game in which he had not played this year. And you miss Franco Escobar, who's been up and down this year, but is a very, very important player, especially in a 3-5-2 as a right center back. So even the injuries now don't seem to be slowing them down. They just have momentum. Soccer's about momentum and emotion sometimes. You can relate to it playing in the NFL. Sometimes you get on a little bit of a roll. You know, you're down, you win a game, maybe you have to, you know, fight late to get into overtime and win an NFL game. And then you come back the next week and you win again. Then you play on a Thursday night, you win again. Now it really starts to roll and you feel better about yourself. And there's not necessarily like a players-only meeting or anything like that. It just starts to happen. And I think that's kind of where Atlanta United is right now.
And from my perspective, and I know that you get to see the team a lot more than I do, call the games. You do a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
But it feels to me, Mike Conte, on the outside looking in, like guys are starting to believe in what Frank DeBoer is preaching. That's what I mean, and that's huge. When you look at the way that they're playing now, they're starting to believe in the formations. They've had to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just feels like now everybody kind of understands where everybody else is supposed to be, and they're playing off each other a lot better.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that they're winning, and winning makes everyone feel better about what you're doing, right? I mean, when you start to lose a couple of matches in a row or you have a result that you don't feel very good about, you start to kind of have that internal chatter. I don't mean within the dressing room. I mean just within your own head. You start to overthink things. And that's one thing that really stands out to me about Atlanta United right now. When you watch them play, they seem to be playing very free, right? Very free-flowing. They don't seem to be overthinking things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the elements of what they were trying to do at the beginning of the season are now becoming second nature to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very, very fun to watch. It's been fun to watch this develop. You know, last year was magic. Okay, Atlanta United, second most points in MLS history in the regular season, pretty much blew through the playoffs, won MLS Cup. That's a magical season. You don't get many of those. To me, what they've done this year, from my perspective, has been more fun to watch because they have dealt with and fought through way more adversity this year than they did last year to get to this point. And sometimes when you have to really fight and scratch and claw, it makes it sweeter when you get to this point rather than when it was kind of coming easily. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense, especially when we were talking about adversity this morning. And
yeah.
You're talking about kids. It makes perfect sense, Mike.
Yeah, so I mean, I love what they're doing right now. Now, your margin for error is still not very wide. You are in first place, but you're even on points with Philadelphia. So you got to be really careful, especially with this match Friday in Orlando, because Orlando is so close to the playoffs, they can taste it. They've never been to the playoffs before. They are really, really close. It's a big home game for them. It's a rivalry game. They just got embarrassed by Atlanta United in their stadium 2 weeks ago in the Open Cup semifinals. So this one on Friday makes me nervous. It really does, because you don't want to lose to Orlando or draw or something like that and then have all this positive momentum kind of thrown into the garbage can. You got to keep this going.
Yeah, Atlanta United Orlando, a kick at 8 with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore on the call on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guzan standing on his head. Joseph is scoring goals. He may catch Vela for the Golden Boot.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule it out either, the way he's scoring goals 11 straight games. Who is Marco back, of course, and playing well? But who is the unsung hero on this team? Hero is the wrong word.
No.
Who's the guy? Is it Miram? Is it Nagby? Who's playing really well that we're not giving enough credit to?
Two players. One who I think is getting a lot of credit is Julian Gressel.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't overstate what he's doing as a right wing back. The work that he's putting in, the amount of running that he has to do. That ball he sent into Joseph, the highlight that we played coming into this segment, that's one of the passes of the season in MLS, to get Joseph in stride at the top of the box and Joseph chips. And Julian and Joseph really have a great connection right now with the service coming from the right from Julian. And it's no coincidence that Joseph has scored in 11 straight games because he's getting that service from Julian. I think a lot of people have given him the rightful credit for that. Darlington Nagby is someone who is just so quietly solid for this team. I think we've started to take him for granted almost. Another man-of-the-match caliber performance for him on Sunday because he has just been so hard to dispossess. He's one of the best dribblers in the league. We knew that. We knew that when he came here. But he just continues to be clutch and reliable week in and week out. And Atlanta United is on this run right now because they have dominated the midfield, and the captain of the midfield is Darlington Nagby. So, he doesn't score a lot of goals, which is why we don't talk about him a lot, but just from the perspective of being that quiet, solid player, he's Atlanta United's Trey Thomas, Hugh.
Yeah,
you don't talk player, about yeah. Trey Thomas, but a solid player. When you don't have him, you notice he's not there, and you really miss him.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Well, we look forward to the game on Friday against Orlando. How many times have you been down in Orlando?
A lot.
A lot.
I love that stadium, though. I'm looking forward to going there.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Brought to you by Colray Heating and their exclusive parts and labor warranty. All right. Fantasy football players, we invite you to join us Saturday, noon to 3, Twin Peaks Buckhead. We're going to have all these experts at our Fantasy Football Summit, Brian Baldinger and Liz Loza and Brad Evans, and they're going to be answering your questions. It's free to come on Saturday, noon to 3. You got to pay for your own food and drink. Inside scoop on fantasy football before your draft, Saturday, noon to 3, Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We're going to be having a mock draft among all of us in the station. We're each going to have our own team. And at noon today, there's going to be a live Facebook and Instagram with Randy McMichael, who's going to pick our draft order. That'll be live on Facebook and Instagram at noon today with Randy McMichael during Andy and Randy.
And Randy.
At noon today. And
they're
with coming
John up Chuckery.
Top of the hour. Yeah, John Chuckery in today. At the top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh coming up top of the hour. John Chuckery and Randy Mack. And again, Randy Mack at noon is going to have a live Facebook and Instagram to pick the order for our fantasy draft on Saturday. Should be a pretty cool event. With the experts coming in noon to 3 at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, and your chance to talk to Brian Baldinger and to talk to Brad Evans and to Liz Loza and ask them and get the insights. Whatever we draft, I'm sure I'm going to lose because I've never won a fantasy football league. It's just not what I do. It's one of the reasons I don't play it. I seem to have like bad luck in fantasy football. I used to play it, but then I quit playing it because I could never win the thing. Because those people that you mentioned was Rick Hamlin last year when he was with the station that he was like really into it.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that are really into fantasy football. Rick Hamlin went hard in the paint when it came to fantasy football, and I'm gonna play. I'm gonna try to win because I want to get a fantasy football ring. They got to have squad goals, and that's one of my squad goals. I want to try to win a fantasy football championship so I can walk around and flaunt a championship ring from fantasy football.
Orange says he's in 6 leagues.
I believe that.
How do you keep track? I mean, wouldn't you lose track of, like, who's available and who's up and who's down?
A lot of them, they have apps for that stuff on your phone, don't they? They have apps and stuff. So, yeah, it's not that hard. I'm probably going to follow. With this one that me and Bunky are in, I know I said it last week that I wasn't going to do a whole lot, but I want to be a little bit more involved with this one. So, because I really want to win this Coca-Cola League because they do a lot of smack talking over there in that league. And it's gotten to the point where, I want to be a winner in that league so that when I come back, I can wear my ring and have bragging rights. Because nothing is more irritating, and they know who I'm talking about, are those corporate America individuals that come running around with their championship rings on that they won in fantasy football talking trash. That just grates me. That bothers me. So, yeah, I'm a little bit competitive when it comes to that. And plus, this is like my, third or fourth year doing it. So, yeah, I've gotten to that point now. I want to be hoisted up in the winner's circle. And my man Dave Archer's going to be there. He's going to, like, host the whole thing. Dave does a great job of doing that. Yeah, I want to win a trophy, man. I want to win a championship. I want that. That is my goal in life. As long as I'm here and I'm doing this Coca-Cola series, I need a championship. I need that.
Well, I tell you this much. If Randy today at noon on the Facebook and Instagram says that I have the first pick in our mock draft, I'll just save everybody the trouble. I'm drafting Saquon Barkley, okay?
That's fine, John. I mean, that's your God-given right. Do it, whatever makes you happy.
I will.
Nobody would be mad at you for drafting Saquon Barkley.
Telegraph that. I'll draft Saquon Barkley number one. After that, I mean, who's the number one quarterback you draft? Is it Mahomes, I guess, right? Is that what everybody does?
Still take Tom Brady. I'll take Tom because Tom's going to probably be in the postseason more than likely. So he's going to give you a better chance. I already told you, if I'm drafting, I'm taking AB. All y'all that want to get on that moral high ground. Mm-hmm. And talk about how bad he is or he's a malcontent, all that. I'm going to go ahead. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and take him. I'm going to go ahead and take that guy.
Yeah, is he going to be missing weeks, though?
John, if he misses the first week of the season, that's okay. He's got about, 15 other weeks that he can make up for? Then I'm going to go ahead and let him do his thing. He's going to be a problem over there in that division. In that West, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take him. And all y'all cats that's talking about, he's not a team player. All y'all that get on y'all high horse and want to talk bad about him, he's going to be scoring touchdowns. And all that's the only thing that's going to matter in fantasy football. That's it.
Yeah, and you got to figure out, who's going to have a better year and who's going to have a worse, I guess. It's interesting. I haven't done this in an awfully long time, so I'm just going to be shooting at the wind here. I think about the top players at the top position. I'm not going to try and get too cute because usually, you know, you get a guy like Travis Kelce and he's going to score a lot of points for you, I guess, you would think, in that offense. But then, you know.
Well, that's why you have guys like Brad Baldinger there and Liz Loza. They're going to help you set your fantasy football draft, John. I'm pretty sure you're going to get there in enough time that you're going to get a chance to, you know, chat them up a little bit, mm-hmm. try to figure out where they are with theirs. And like I said, Baldy is the type of guy, he's probably been studying this draft board since everybody got drafted and seeing how they're going to fit on the squad. So, I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, it's not going to be above him to tell you what he thinks you should do, especially if you got the first pick.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like, I mean, it's not like, even if you didn't have the first pick, John, it's not a stretch to say that Saquon's not going to go first. I'm pretty sure he's going to be high on everybody's draft list, however they draft. He's going to be probably the first player taken. That's not a stretch.
Yeah, and of course, Julio Jones is something. There's another story, and far more important than the fantasy draft, and that is that his agent is in town today, Jimmy Sexton. That word came out last night. We've been monitoring kind of social media and some folks over in Flowery Branch. No word yet. It's only 9:47 in the morning, but I believe that there's a lot of hope, at least, that what we will have today, tomorrow, is an announcement that the Julio deal is done, that his agent flew in to seal this deal, Hugh, and get it done, and we'll get Julio's deal signed off, and poof, we're good to go. And not that he's going to play in the preseason, good to go, but that it's done and we don't have to worry about it because, you know, were it next week, you know, and we didn't have this deal done, there were people might start to get a little nervous.
Well, it kind of make you wonder what's going on and why hasn't the deal been done yet, because we've been hearing the whole time that, you know, this is a done deal. And, you know, it's just a formality. All of this is just a formality. So we waited past the actual year date. So we've gotten past that. Now it's just a matter of when it's going to get done. What's going on? So hopefully it's get done this week.
Yeah, so hopefully if we get any news, we'll certainly, as soon as we hear it, we'll pass it along to you on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Also tonight, Braves back in action. Dallas Keuchel on the mound. It'll be Keuchel, Teheran, and Soroka. We're going to throw the heart of the rotation at the Miami Marlins over the next 3 days. Maybe a little bit of payback for what happened down in Miami. And not so much really. It wasn't so much that the Marlins took it out. We just played bad when we were down there. And if you believe that what you saw the last couple of days from the bullpen and the Dodgers series, that's going to be interesting. Also going to be interesting a little bit tonight, you know, Ronald Acuna, because I think there's some fans that are thinking that what Brian Snicker did might, you know, either A, light a fire under him. I don't know how much more of a fire you light under the guy. He's already having a top five MVP caliber season, or B, it's going to go kind of the other way.
He's going to come out with the pouty face. Mm-hmm. I heard a couple of people say that they think he's going to have a pouty face. I don't see that happening. If he comes out there and he's pouting or he has an attitude, I would be surprised. I don't get that from that kid. I do not get that from him. And if that is the case, I would be very, very surprised if he did that, especially with the year that he's having. There's no need for it. There's no need to be the pouty. No need to have a pouty face.
Yeah, so we'll see. And again, Ronald Acuna right there at the top of the order tonight as he leads off against the Miami Marlins. And you know, he has owned the Marlins. The worst thing that ever happened to Don Mattingly and the Marlins was that Urania hitting Ronald Acuna, because ever since then, Ronald Acuna has just destroyed them. Payback has been just a you-know-what when it comes to the Miami Marlins. And a chance now for the Braves, hopefully, to not only win this series, maybe sweep the Marlins, because we'll keep our eyes on Washington and Pittsburgh. The Nationals are coming hard. Won 7 of their last 8, and in their last 5 games, they've scored, what was it, Oren, you had the number, 63 runs in 5 games? 63 runs in their last 5 games, and that includes a 2-1 win. And in the other 4 games, they've scored 13, they've scored 15, they've scored 16, and they've scored 17. Again, Washington Nationals just have been tearing the cover off the ball. So, again, the race is on here as we get into the dog days of August. And hopefully another solid performance by Dallas Keuchel tonight. That would be a good thing to see too, Hugh.
Back-to-back, yeah. Especially after that win against the Dodgers. Want to see some good, make some hay. Two out of three. That's all I can ask for.
John and Randy, John Chuckery and Randy Mack back in the bullpen getting ready for the midday show. And they'll be here to preview what they've got on their plate as we continue on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and 92onthegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.